Great to see you today and glad you're here and glad you've come to worship. And if you get a chance, you might want to come back at 11 just to be a part of the cantata and all that is going to happen during that time as well. But we're grateful that you're here this morning. You know, what I've discovered in life is that everybody loves a parade. Yesterday morning, I got to participate in the Little League parade here in Oldham County. I had never done that before, so that was kind of fun and be a part of that and to walk all the way from the fire department to the ballpark, so that was kind of cool to be with everybody, a lot of people. On opening day, whenever that was, back a couple weeks ago, what I discovered is that people in Cincinnati love a parade. It was the Findlay Market opening day 100th parade, and I got to go be part of that. And here's the crazy thing. I went with Owen and Todd, my friend Todd. And here's the crazy thing. We lived in Northern Kentucky, the three of us, 15 years. Did we ever go to that parade in those 15 years? Not one time. So we move, you know, we move all over the rest of the part of the state, and finally we are here all together, and Owen calls up and says, hey, let's go to the Findlay Market Parade. So with a few of our friends, we went to the Findlay Market opening day parade. That's craziness up there. What I know is that everybody does love a parade. And whether that's a holiday parade, Rose Bowl, Orange Bowl, something like that on New Year's Day, whether it's a community parade like the Oldham County Day Parade, or something like that. I mean, everybody seems to love a parade. We're not the first ones to ever celebrate by having parades. 2,000 years ago, there was another parade on Palm Sunday. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. I want to talk about the parade that we read about in Scripture. The parade that on that day that we call Palm Sunday. The day that Jesus was welcomed like no one had ever been welcomed into the city of Jerusalem. For what was to be his final week of life on earth. The cheers that greeted him that day must have been tremendous. I mean, the excitement of the crowd. Everyone caught up in the excitement. The King is coming. The Messiah. The Promised One. The one who's going to take care of this Roman tyranny that's among us. Hosanna. Now someone called this day, the day that we call Palm Sunday, a day of temporary triumph, temporary victory. It was a day that started, it was a week that started with joy and hosannas. And the parade even ends with Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. Grab your bulletin or your Bible, and I want to read Luke 19, and I want to just ask you to follow along as I read about this big Palm Sunday parade. As he rode along, the crowds spread out their garments on the road ahead of him. When he reached the place where the road started down the Mount of Olives, all of his followers began to shout and sing as they walked along, praising God for all the wonderful miracles they had seen. Blessings on the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in highest heaven. But some of the Pharisees among the crowd said, Teacher, rebuke your followers for saying things like that. And I love Jesus' response. He replied, if they keep quiet, the stones along the road will burst into cheers. But as he came closer to Jerusalem and saw the city ahead, he began to weep. How I wish today that you of all people would understand the way to peace. But now it's too late, and peace is hidden from your eyes. Before long, your enemies will build ramparts against your walls and encircle you and close in on you from every side. They will crush you into the ground and your children with you. Your enemies will not leave a single stone in place because you did not recognize it when God visited you. I want to share in these few moments just a couple of what I think are really important kind of behind the scenes happenings on this day of the Palm Sunday parade. First of all, I want to talk about the significance of an insignificant donkey. You know, it's interesting that some churches on Palm Sunday sing the song, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." There's something on Palm Sunday. Now that seems weird because that's a Christmas song, right? That's a song that we would sing on Christmas and during the Advent season. But some churches sing it during this season of the year, and especially on Palm Sunday. Seems kind of weird, but I don't know, maybe not. Listen. The words go, "Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Born thy people to deliver. Born a child and yet a king. Born to reign in us forever." And maybe, I mean, isn't that what this moment's really all about? Isn't that what Palm Sunday is really all about, to proclaim him as king? It was really a day that a celebrated king was coming home. So how in the world did this insignificant donkey find its way into the story? What in the world is going on here? Jesus sends his disciples to go get this donkey from this guy and just has him bring him. And Jesus rides into the city on the back of this borrowed donkey. And here's the thing. In the ancient Middle East, kings would enter into a city in one of two ways. If they were coming in to be conquerors, or in the midst of war, or to do battle, they would ride in on the back of a horse, the back of a stallion. That usually meant trouble for wherever that king was coming to. If the king was coming in peace, they would ride on the back of a donkey, an act of humility, humble, meek. So there's something about this picture that doesn't look right when you see that Jesus, the one known as the King of Kings, coming to take this government, this tyrannic government by storm, a warrior king would come riding on the back of a stallion, wouldn't he? For a person to come riding on the back of a donkey, that didn't make a lot of sense to these folks who would kind of understand the imagery of what was taking place. That person wasn't coming to fight or to wage war or to be a warrior. The person coming on the back of a donkey was coming to bring peace, to usher in peace. So this whole orchestration of this young, previously unridden donkey was really a fulfillment of the prophetic words of Isaiah and Zechariah. Matthew records them in chapter 21 of his gospel. This wasn't some type of happenstance at all. It was to fulfill this very symbolic way that he was coming to fulfill his role as the Prince of Peace. That had been promised by the prophets of old. Come thou long expected Jesus, born to set thy people free from our fears and sins. Release us, let us find our rest in thee. But the second behind the scenes thing are these cheering words of an unknowing crowd. The crowd that gathered in that place to welcome Jesus into that city. Well, I mean, some say that the population of Jerusalem can swell to 5 or 6 times its normal size. So it's possible that during Passover, the city of Jerusalem was maybe 500,000 people gathered together to find, I mean, the reason they would come during Passover was to find some sense of peace in their lives, to find some gentleness, some sense of God's presence to be so real to them. And word had gotten out that Jesus was coming. And by this time, you know, 3 years had passed since Jesus had broken onto the scene as in his public ministry. And what had he done in that 3 years except to go around healing people, making the lame to walk and the blind to see, doing incredible miracles that no one had ever seen before. People knew about Jesus. Even if he had never been in their particular town, they knew about him. And the news of Jesus making those blind people to see and lame people to walk, that had spread far and wide, promising forgiveness of sin and so much more. People in Judea and Galilee and Samaria, they knew about this Jesus. So at Passover, so many of those people who had come to Jerusalem, who maybe some had witnessed some of those incredible miracles, some who had just heard of them word of mouth, they wanted to see this Jesus for themselves. And so they gathered together on this parade route as Jesus came into town. They were waiting on their coming king. And this was really the public declaration of Jesus as the Son of David, the coming king. And the crowd cheered for Jesus like they were at a Final Four, or at the Super Bowl, or at some great concert, or some great event. They cheered for Jesus like they had never cheered before. They were so excited. If you look at verses 36 to 40, you can see in that passage of Scripture that they were so excited that Jesus was actually coming. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, hosannas were ringing through the air. The gospel writers say that was what was being hosanna in the highest. Words that meant, please save us now. Hosanna, blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Those cries of cheering for this one who was riding on the back of the donkey were words that were used. These are familiar words because they were words that were used in the liturgy of the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles. These were not words that were lost on the people who were participating in that great parade. They were words that were used when people would commonly wave their branches in the air, as we did as we processed in this morning. And they would pray for God's help and they would celebrate God's victory. The crowd cheered. They threw their coats. They threw branches. But why? Caught up in the moment? Perhaps. Because they knew about all of his miracles? Perhaps. Because they longed for a new and gentler king than they'd ever experienced before? All they had known is the tyranny of the Roman government. Perhaps. And yet they had no idea of what awaited Jesus just a few short days from this first Palm Sunday parade. They couldn't foresee their own turning of feelings from their praise and excitement to what would come later in the week as calls of crucify him. Jesus quietly rides into town, welcoming their worship and their adoration, all the while knowing that they don't have a clue of what they're saying or the earth-shattering importance of this very moment in history. And the religious leaders of the day, they protested. Like, man, Jesus, make your disciples be quiet. They can't say these things about you. Jesus says, look, if they stop, the rocks are going to cry out in praise and adoration. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, even us in the church, do we know why we cheer for Jesus today? Do we understand why we worship and adore and wave palm branches and get caught up in the moment? Do we really know this Jesus and what he was about? You know, the world, I think our world around us, for the most part, they cheer for Jesus this week of the year and maybe at Christmas. The rest of the time, I think people think that all this Jesus stuff's a little bit goofy, a little bit overrated. They'll cheer when it's the holiday season and they can gain something from it. But when it comes down to them making a choice and a decision that can affect their lives, they don't really have a clue. One moment we cheer for him, and the next we turn our backs. And then there's a third moment that sometimes we just, in this story, that we kind of just gloss over. The tears of a loving Savior. If you look at verses 41 to 44, no one would have guessed that this was going to happen. There's only two times in the New Testament we see Jesus weep. One is in John 11 where he weeps at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. The other is in this place. Whereas he's entering into Jerusalem, coming in as the proclaimed Messiah to shouts of Hosanna, a welcoming and adoring crowd, he pauses for a moment, looks at the city of Jerusalem, and weeps. He's overcome by emotion. You know why? Because the people didn't get it. I mean, look at that last verse. Because you did not recognize it when God visited you. He weeps because the people missed him. God was coming to be right there. Kind of like the Christmas celebration. God was coming, born as a king, into their midst, and they missed it. God came to live among them, and they totally missed him. God, he came to be their peace that they sought when they came to Jerusalem for Passover, and they missed him. He came to be all that they would ever need, and they missed him. The people that day, and maybe some today, were willing to settle for a life in a prison of their own making and saying that that was good enough. I wonder if we're ever like that. I wonder if we just settle for what we think we can do, what we think we should know, and we miss him. If only that crowd that day, and maybe some people today, would be willing to let go of what they thought they wanted in order to find what Jesus, only Jesus, could give them. If only we and they would have let go of their and our presuppositions and our own agendas and our own self-guided lives and let Jesus be in control. I wonder this morning, I wonder if Jesus ever weeps for us. Pray with me. God, this is Palm Sunday. It's a day of celebration. It's a day of rejoicing. And yet, it's a day that we see the emotion of Jesus because he wept for people who missed him. And my prayer is that today, as we are gathered here, in a few moments, as we'll gather again together to listen to a cantata, that God, we wouldn't miss you on this day. We wouldn't miss you tomorrow as we go to work, or go to school, or go to do whatever we could do. That we wouldn't miss you this week. That we would truly know that we have been in your presence and that you do come to give us peace. Thank you, Jesus, for this great day, this great parade that reminds us of how much you love us. In Jesus' name, amen.